Netflix's documentary, My Octopus Teacher, was released to streaming in September of 2020. It immediately won the hearts of its viewers, becoming a virtual sensation overnight. Shot off the southern tip of Cape Town, South Africa, the film is narrated by Craig Foster, a natural history filmmaker who befriends a curious octopus. Foster continues to bond with his unlikely companion over the course of a year, forging a relationship with nature while rediscovering himself. My Octopus Teacher has received citations from various critics groups and organizations, including being nominated by the Directors Guild and winning the Producers Guild. It is nominated for both BAFTA and the Academy Award for Best Documentary. The film is a favorite of many of ours at Awards Daily. Joining me today is Academy Award nominee Pippa Ehrlich, co-director of this wonderful film. Thanks for being here with me, Pippa.
Thank you for having me.
Sure. Congrats on the success of your astonishing film. We're all big fans.
Thank you. And thank you for being so kind about it.
Yeah, no problem. So My Octopus Teacher was your feature film directorial debut. Along with co-directing the film with James Reed, you also wrote, edited, and contributed to the photography. You seem to be a bit of an octopus yourself, with many arms extending to all different branches of the production. How rewarding was it to hear your film announced as an Academy Award nominated documentary?
It was an enormous surprise. I think it took many hours of getting over the shock to kind of let the rewarding part of it sink in. I'll tell you the story. James and I were going to watch the announcements together. He's in the UK, but it ended up happening 20 minutes sooner than we expected. And I was very lucky that a friend of mine was home with me, and she turned it on. And when I heard, we just never expected this. And when I called James, he was in the middle of a meeting, and he was kind of mildly irritated to see my name popping up. And when I told him, I've never heard James go quiet. I think he was quiet for a good 30 seconds. So I jumped. I think I almost hit the ceiling. We could not believe it.
Yeah, that's incredible. I'm sure it was quite a moment. So you quit your job and took a leap of faith to make this film. What was the journey like to get buy-in and make people see and believe what you could see with this story?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you said I'm like an octopus because I played so many roles with this film. And I think that's more because, you know, when we started off, we had a filmmaker who hadn't made a film in 10 years and another filmmaker who'd only made very short films. And we had no budget. We had an edit suite in Craig's attic. And so we were doing everything ourselves. We were like a two-man full production house for the first year and a bit. And it was scary at times. It's scary to give up a job that you've done for a long time. And, you know, you're getting a salary every month. But, yeah, as soon as I read the treatment, I knew that this was something that I wanted to do. It just resonated with me. Yeah. In a way that I still can't really explain. It was just something when you feel in your whole body, like I have to say yes. And it's not actually that often in your life that you get such a strong feeling about things. Often I struggle to make decisions, but this one, it was so clear to me. There was no deliberation in my head, but when it comes to actually, you know, taking that leap and then for the first 3 months, it's fun. Although you're going through piles and piles of footage and not sure where the story is. And then you start speaking to a few people. We started speaking to Off the Fence, and it took a while, before they got excited, actually. We cut a few things and they were like, oh, we're not sure. And then I think we cut the chase sequence, and that got them really, really engaged. And from there, we started working together with Ellen Windermuth, our EP at Off the Fence, and she got her sales team on board. And yeah, that was about another 6 months before we flew over to the Netherlands and all sat down together and met their sales team and started working on treatments and trailers. But it's not, it wasn't an easy film to sell, because even when you describe it to people, it's hard to imagine how it's going to work. It just sounds like a very odd story and a very unlikely story. It's not a film about a lion cub or a dolphin, or even, you know, something powerful and charismatic like a grizzly bear.
Right.
So it wasn't a film that could be sold off a concept or if a kind of paper treatment. And we worked for about 18 months, I would say, from March 2017 until it was in about October 2018, where we had a cut that we were really happy with. The story flowed really well. People cried when they watched it. We knew we had something that was very, very compelling, and we were pleased with it. But there was something in the voice that just wasn't working. And I think the problem that we had at that point is Craig and I were very, very close to the story. I'd known him for a long time by then, and I'd never sat him down and interviewed him, you know, with a very strong intention. When we tried to grab pieces of interview, it just didn't come across in the way that it didn't come across authentically and spontaneously. And the reason for that is he'd already told me the story over and over again. So whatever question I asked him, he gave a kind of contrived answer because he knew that I already knew it. And that was when Ellen approached James Reed, who's a fantastic filmmaker who uses this kind of interview-driven style. And he was busy on a couple of other projects, but we were lucky that he said, okay, well, I'll just have a quick look. It was kind of, he knew it would be inconvenient if he liked it, but he watched and he was blown away, just like I was when I saw some of the early rushes. And we decided that the way forward would be to sit Craig down for an interview. We made sure he and Craig spoke briefly on Skype, but we made sure they didn't speak too much. And he came out to South Africa and did this 3 days of pretty grueling interviewing. And Craig told that story to someone who'd never heard it before, and he told it as if he was telling it for the very first time. And suddenly we had this incredible, authentic, spontaneous voice for the film.
Mm-hmm.
And that was lucky, because at this point, and we were lucky that Off the Fence helped us with some funding. You know, they actually kind of funded James's contribution to the project, which was great because we could never have afforded him otherwise. And then he and I worked together in Bristol for about 3 months. And recut the film using this interview as the kind of skeleton that everything else hung on.
Right.
And from there we went to Netflix. But I mean, you can imagine when you know you've got a great story and you care about it very much. I mean, you care about it so much. It's there's no doubt in your mind when you wake up in the morning that you want to go to work and you want to do this thing because it's meaningful to you. But you do start to wonder a bit when broadcasters aren't seeing what you see. But with this new format, we got it to Sarah Edelson, and she's the EP at Netflix.
Okay.
This is a very long story. Is this answer a bit
No,
long?
You're fine. No, it's great. Okay. Very interesting.
So Sarah got the link just after Christmas, and she was sitting on a plane from Hawaii, and she pushed play and her 8-year-old son was sitting next to her. And the whole way back to the States, he was just like trying to climb onto her lap and watch the film. And she fell in love with it. And it took time. I mean, I think, you know, she was fairly new at Netflix at the time, and it was this very strange story. So she really championed it on her end. And it was, but it was about another 6 months. I mean, we were really, any savings I had had been completely eaten up by the time we received any money in our bank accounts for the project.
Labor of love.
It really was a labor of love.
Yeah. Well, it's fascinating to hear how kind of these things unfold and what you had to do to adjust to get the right mood from Craig. That's kind of where I would go with, you know, one of my favorite parts of the film is listening, you know, as Craig describes how he's introducing his body to the cold water surrounding the kelp forest. It's very reverent and almost, it's almost like he's describing a religious experience. His passion for the hidden world was inspiring, and the way you guys captured it is probably my favorite component of the film. Did you know going into production that you would take such a personal and intimate angle with it?
Well, we did, because it's just been such a personal experience for Craig. You know, it's completely transformed him. Not just the experience with the octopus, that was very profound, but his whole relationship with the kelp forest and his relationship with nature. And the cold immersion was a big part of that. So I think the interview really allowed that to be expressed in an authentic way. But yeah, we knew it would be a very personal film. And by the time, you know, I'd already been working and diving with Craig for 6 months before we started working on the film. So I was already in love with the Great African Sea Forest at that point. And I think when you have such a personal connection to something, it just pushes you forwards at all costs. And it's hard not to see it through that lens, which is why having more objective players coming in, like James Reed, like Jinx Godfrey, our editor consultant at a later stage, yeah, it was incredibly valuable and definitely something that I would consider on any future film that I make, because you get lost in the weeds otherwise.
Right. So it sounds like you took a lot personally away from the film as well. Is there something you hope that your audience takes away from the film?
I mean, I think there are many, many layers of things, you know. I think the first thing was the film came out at a very difficult time in human history, and people were at home and they were feeling sad and scared and confused and unable to make any plans for the future. And, you know, this film is about finding meaning and feeling connected to yourself and the people around you and the world around you. And it's a story of hope. And I really would like to think that we cheered people up a bit at a very difficult time. And then, you know, on a more, I don't know if I want to say an intentional level, I've been a conservation journalist for a long time. Before I started working on the film, I was working for a marine conservation organization. And, you know, you get disillusioned and worried about the state of the world. And we know that we're in the middle of the sixth great extinction. We know that species are disappearing at a rate that we can't even imagine. And the reason that COVID has affected us in the way that it has is because of this rampant biodiversity loss. We don't understand that biodiversity is our planet's immune system. And when all the species that support us start to disappear, you know, the earth itself gets sick. And COVID is really just a symptom of that. So, and I was seeing, you know, different symptoms in the natural world during my time as a conservation journalist. And I really did want to express or find a story that looked at a different vision for the relationship between people and nature, and a more positive expression of what it means to be a fragile human being on planet Earth. And I hope that that's something that people took away from it, that, you know, we're we're not a species at the top of the food chain. We're living in this enormous community of animals. And these animals, you know, they enrich us not because of what they can offer us for physical resources, but because of what they can offer our imaginations and our mental well-being, even our spiritual well-being. And every single one of those animals has a fascinating life full of drama and intrigue. And, you know, they have trials and tribulations that you could never imagine unless you stop and slow down and take time to look. And that's what Craig did.
That's fantastic. So you're involved, you mentioned a little bit of it about it, but you're involved with the Sea Change Project. Do you have anything in the works next as part of that? Part of that collective, and do you and Craig plan to work together again?
Yes. So the Sea Change Project is a, you know, our main focus is the Great African Sea Forest, which is the kelp forest in which the octopus lives. So broadly, what we want to do is tell stories that connect people to nature, but more specifically, we're really trying to create media. And My Octopus Teacher was our biggest project, and it's a film project, but we've also done exhibitions and we've done books. And we're trying to drum up local and global support for this very special environment. And also to raise the profile of kelp forests globally, because they cover 25% of our coastlines, and most people have never even heard of a kelp forest. They don't know that that type of ecosystem exists. And they're very vulnerable. They, you know, in places like Tasmania and California, entire forests have disappeared in just a few years. So, yeah, our work is really about, you know, Craig continues to go into the kelp forest every single day. And he's bringing back beautiful stories all the time. And we're looking at a few projects, and it takes time. You know, My Octopus Teacher was just the octopus part of the story, was at least kind of 5 years of work. So wow. We're trying to give the next story some space to emerge. We have a few ideas. Yeah, and then we've got a lot of work to do with this film still.
Yeah.
We've got local impact campaigns to run. So there's a lot of stuff in the works.
That's fantastic. Glad to hear it. One more question for you, just kind of maybe more into your personal interests. So 2020 was a really incredible year for both documentaries and female-directed films. Have you been able to catch up on some of the great work from your peers this year? And if so, do you have any personal favorites?
I have. I watched Promising Young Woman the other night, and I absolutely loved it.
Oh, awesome.
And it's, I've been on a lot of panels.
Okay.
With other female directors, and it's been really exciting and encouraging and inspiring to get to meet all of these incredible women. And to also get a sense that you're part of a community, because it's been a weird year to release a film. And, you know, I live in a little village on the tip of Africa, and I felt quite isolated. So to get a sense of what it means to be a female filmmaker in the world, has been incredible for me. And then, of course, as you said, so many people are interested in documentaries now. People who, you know, and I think that's a really positive sign. Sorry, there's a dog barking in the background. Is that bothering you?
No. I was wondering if that was yours. Yeah,
it's... No, it's my neighbor's dog.
Okay. now mine's chiming in.
Oh, that's funny. I think it's fantastic that people are watching documentaries, because it shows that there's a real growing curiosity for trying to make sense of the world that we live in. And a search for things that are true and based in reality, and not just, you know, a tendency towards looking to be entertained. You know, not that they aren't right. Incredibly poignant and truthful narrative films as well. They absolutely are. But yeah, this is to be a documentary filmmaker at this time is exhilarating, I guess would be the word.
and a lot more platforms, I think, to have your work be seen. I think, you know, Netflix has been very, has done a very good job with distributing documentaries, yeah. HBO, Amazon, a lot of great venues in which to see these great films. So I know you have a busy schedule. So I just want to thank you for joining me today, Pippa, and again for your gift of this wonderful film. Best of luck to you with BAFTA, the Oscars, and what comes next for you in your career. We'll be looking forward to your next work.
Thank you so much, Mark.
Thank you, Pippa.
Really appreciate the call. Okay, yeah. Have a nice day.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.